This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Signature support is from First Financial Tax and Accounting Services. And we begin today with Mayor President Sharon Weston Broome, who is now in her second term. 6 months ago, she was reelected with more than 57% of the votes, and she defeated Steve Carter. And this is a time in which the COVID pandemic is still a major force in our world. And unfortunately, your opponent, who is a really nice man, a guy you said you liked a lot, even though you ran a bruising campaign, he was a victim of COVID, and we lost a good one in Steve Carter.
Absolutely, and it saddens me that he is no longer with us. You know, it just reminds us the fragility of life and how every day is a gift, and that's how I approach each day, because there are many people who were with us at the beginning of 2020 who are no longer with us as we speak. And so it's certainly my goal personally to make the most of each day, but certainly as the leader of this city and parish. And my prayers continue to go out to families like the Carter family and others who have lost loved ones to COVID.
How are we doing with vaccines in Baton Rouge?
Well, you know, we are one of 12 nationally national sites that were set up by FEMA for mass vaccinations. And I will tell you that there is a level of vaccine hesitancy. All of these mass vaccination sites have been challenged with that, but we've been doing good. We've done over 3,000, and our approach has been to use that mass vaccination site as the hub, Jim, and then we have spokes all over the city.
And for those unfamiliar, the major site is where?
The major site is at Bon Carré, which used to be the old Bon Marché Mall.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of
you
used to be.
You and I can remember.
Yeah. And so we're working to bring vaccines directly into our neighborhoods. You know, I believe we learned a lesson in terms of closing the disparity gap at the beginning of COVID with the test sites. And so our goal has been, and we've been very successful in making vaccinations accessible all over the city and parish, and they are free.
877-217-5757 if you'd like to talk to Mayor President Sharon Weston Broome. And if you'd like to send us an email, talk@talklouisiana.org. I think most people know her backstory, but just as in public life, independent of her work as a journalist, she was the number two person in both the Louisiana House and the Louisiana Senate, former Metro Council person, and now in her second term as mayor president of the state's largest parish, East Baton Rouge Parish. A few days ago, you took pen in hand and wrote an op-ed piece that appeared in The Advocate about President Biden's plan for the U.S. The president was here last week, and you actually rubbed shoulders with him, kind of, didn't you?
Yeah, we couldn't get too close, but yeah, we were. I had the privilege of meeting him, speaking with him, taking a photo with him with our mask on. Mm-hmm. And during that time, I talked to him and thanked him for the work that he has been doing surrounding infrastructure, and to let him know that I wholeheartedly support it, as many other constituents, and also I put a plug in for that train between Baton Rouge and New Orleans. And so we are optimistic about the future of infrastructure, certainly for the city and parish of Baton Rouge, but for the nation as well.
Was he receptive to your...
Oh, he was absolutely receptive. He was absolutely receptive. I believe our visions are in alignment. So he just needs some people to cooperate and work with him, you know, in Congress. So I believe that it will become a reality.
But he also, when he came to Louisiana, had to know that as a state, not necessarily the cities he was in, but... as a state, he lost here by about 400,000 votes. So it was notable that he came this way.
It was notable. I will tell you that it certainly helps when one of the senior advisors is from Louisiana, that mm-hmm. being the Honorable Cedric Richmond, I think that helps
no doubt.
A lot. And, of course, our governor, I would be remiss to say if I didn't say that mm-hmm. he's been a good partner, you know, with the president as well, up there right now.
And the only Southern Democrat in a state house in the Deep South is John Bell Edwards, and he's in Washington today.
Absolutely, absolutely. So it was a good visit. I look forward to one day getting him here in the capital city, the president. I look forward to that.
Well, that would be notable. I think the last time he was here was when those police officers were killed in 2016, mm-hmm. and he attended a funeral, and I remember he was a moving presence. He mm-hmm. is a guy who wears his emotions on his sleeve in many ways. He's a guy who obviously, I think, likes people and is very comfortable, and that's probably why he's been a good politician.
Yeah, he was very down to earth when we talked.
877-217-5757. Mark Ballard will be with us for much of the back half of the hour, but we have Sharon Weston Broom, the mayor-president, with us right now. And if you'd like to send an email, talk@talklouisiana.org. And Matt, I think we may, at least for the moment, have to correspond in another way. We've got some callers. There we go. I think it's John downtown. Is that correct? John, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana with Mayor Broom. Hi, John.
Hi. I was curious, talking about infrastructure, Mayor. What do you think about Baton Rouge's public transportation system, and are there any moves to improve it? I'll take my comments off air.
Okay, thank you, John. Well, first of all, let me just say that CATS has been a tremendous partner in our COVID-19 process, navigating it. You know, they waived the fare for anyone traveling during that season, and now they're up and at it again. And we do know that they do have something on the ballot coming up, a renewal. While I do not have direct authority over CATS, they have a board, I would say that we still need CATS. I'm extremely excited about the Plank Road Corridor project, which the bus rapid transit will be kind of the center point, if you will, of that whole Plank Road Corridor project. So I believe, and I encourage you or others who have constructive feedback to CATS to forward that to our good friend Bill DeVille and the board there.
877-217-5757 and talk@talklouisiana.org. Here's one from Tom on Blue Bonnet asking about the possible reconfiguration of BRAC. There is a bill, as we know. I think the vote was 28-6 in the Senate the other day. Bodie White, your opponent of 2016, mm-hmm. is the sponsor. Is this something that gives you pause?
Oh, it definitely gives me pause, and I've been very vocal about my opposition to the bill. I had a conversation with Senator White initially, told him I didn't think it was a good idea, asked if there was anything that I could do to help the parties come up with some type of compromise, those parties being him and perhaps Breck, to see what we could do to address some of his concerns. He obviously felt the best way to address it was to proceed with his bill. And, you know, I shared with him, well, I can't support that. Number one, it's another division, you know. Mm-hmm. I am a firm believer that when we keep chipping away at our city and different services, that we chip away at the strength. And, you know, Breck, all systems. Let me just say this, Jim. You know, you're not going to find an entity, a company, a corporation, any government entity, anything that doesn't have challenges at some time, right? Or maybe that you don't agree with wholeheartedly. There's always room for improvement. But you have to understand that BREC is a nationally renowned park system that adds to the quality of life in East Baton Rouge Parish. And I believe that breaking up BREC will only degrade our park system and create, which a lot of people mm-hmm. who are aligned with the good senator don't like, they don't like redundant layers of government. And that's exactly what you're going to have. And let me just say this. where's the plan again? We keep wanting to do stuff, and we don't have a plan of action. I don't get that. You know,
well,
what's the plan?
Another listener notes that the mayor of Central, which would be affected, is also against it.
Yes, yes. And so, you know, I just don't think it's a good idea. I can't support it. I want us to see us stay together. If there are some concerns that the senator has, let's all sit down at a table and see how we can work those concerns out. And once again, I don't have any authority over BREC. You know, they have their own board, their own funding stream. But as the mayor president, I am concerned when we talk about dismantling a nationally renowned park system.
Well, this one still has to go through the House. So
correct. It's not over yet.
Not over yet. And Bodie White is a very persuasive man in the Senate, where he is Finance Committee Chair. So it's 28-6 in the Senate. We'll see what happens as it moves down the line. Of course, it also would have to go to the desk of the governor of Louisiana. 877-217-5757. We got a few people lined up to talk with Mayor President Sharon Weston Broome back in 90 seconds. This is Jim Inkster. Pleased to have Mayor President Sharon Weston Broome in-house for a little while longer to talk about matters of importance to the state's largest parish. She is Mayor President of East Baton Rouge Parish, has been now for going on 5 years, got her second term. Listener, before we go back to the phone lines, you're eligible to run for a third term. Have you looked that far ahead?
Well, let me just tell you what I tell my team. Let's take one term at a time, and at the appropriate time, we'll be ready to decide how we move forward. You know, I got a lot of work to do right now, so my eyes are on what I have at hand.
Henry at the Country Club of Louisiana. Hi, Henry.
Oh, good morning, Miss Mayor, and good morning, Mr. Jim. I'm ready for the next campaign. Let's get you reelected already.
Thank you.
I wanted to suggest something. I really respect your efforts to keep East Baton Rouge Parish together, and we both know, or we all three know, that the Civil War has been over for quite a while. I'm going to bring up something that Mr. Jim has always beat the drum about. With his committee reviewing the Confederate names on all the streets in Baton Rouge, why not an Abraham Lincoln Street?
All right. What there is, and to my knowledge, no Lincoln Street. You know, we have all those presidents north of LSU, yeah. And they skip, they go right from Buchanan to Andrew Johnson, and somehow they miss number 16. I wonder why. I wonder what was going on.
I think we know. But let me just say this, you know, Councilwoman Green is going forward with a committee to look at street names in Baton Rouge. And it's not just street names, it's the process, I think, as well, of how streets evolve in our city and parish. And I don't think it's anything for anybody to be frightened about or be, you know, overly concerned about. I believe that it's going to be a discussion. They're going to examine existing street names and symbols that may be historically insensitive. And the work really is an outgrowth of the Commission on Racial Equity and Inclusion that we established last year after the George Floyd killing. So it's a continuation and an opportunity for citizens to give their input, because they will be public meetings. And so I don't think anybody should get antsy about, well, is my street going to be changed and this and that. Just stay tuned and be a part of the process.
Joe in Mid-City. Joe, you're on with Mayor Broome.
Mayor, thank you so much for all the great work that you do for our community. Marijuana legalization bills are going through downtown, and, you know, we could see how these could really change the justice system in Louisiana, and as well as bring in new tax revenue. Can you talk a little bit about any conversations you've heard?
What about marijuana and the economic benefits of it?
Well, I have not heard or been involved in any conversations as of late, but I do know it's going through the process. I think it's interesting to note that at the legislature, which is a dominant Republican conservative legislature, that this bill seems to be getting traction from all sides of the political spectrum. And I think that speaks to, number one, what is going on in the country in terms of the decriminalization of marijuana. And it also speaks, number two, to the economic impact. So we'll have a wait and see on where that bill ends up.
Stuart downtown. Stuart, you're on Talk Louisiana with Mayor President Sharon Weston Broome.
Jim, as always, Mayor and the audience. Mayor, related to police persons and giving them a raise, couldn't the city of Baton Rouge save millions of dollars if we stopped allowing these individuals to take these cars home? In many instances, when they're off, myself and lots of other citizens see them driving these automobiles in a very arrogant, very disrespectful, reckless.
Mayor?
Well, Stuart, I think I get your point. Stuart, I think we've had this conversation, too, off the radio. But let me just say this. You know, first of all, the raise that was given to our police officers was at least to it hadn't taken place, I want to say, over 10 or 12 years, at least 10 years since they had had a raise. And it was done through efficiencies. Mm-hmm. So that needs to be brought up. Certainly, I think that incentives in terms of hiring new police officers should be a part of the process to minimize overtime, excessive overtime use. Mm-hmm. Some businesses offer residency in apartments that they have for officers. Looking at the police cars certainly is something to look at. It's often seen, I believe, as part of the incentives. But I also encourage you to have a conversation with our chief of police, who can certainly lay out the rationale around this in a very clear and concise manner.
Well, for those who live in certain areas, sometimes it helps to have a police vehicle in the neighborhood.
Oh, absolutely.
And we are on a track. It looks like if we don't change, we're going to be at about 150 murders this year, which would be a record. And this is a phenomenon across the country. And, Mayor, you've said COVID has contributed, but are there other factors?
Yeah, you know, let me just say this, Jim, I think about it and take action about it as well. You're right. It's going on all over the country. I just read an article. I'm sure you've read articles. There are consistent articles even in the past 2 weeks around the growing violence that's taking place in our community. And so there are a lot of different prongs, if you will, or pillars to addressing violence. Certainly one is law enforcement, and Baton Rouge Police Department is utilizing tactical partnerships with our state, federal, and law enforcement agencies to identify strategies around gun violence and group violence. What we're seeing is a lot of this is retaliatory violence that we see. People who know people and who have a beef. And then the second layer, as you've seen, and it's also disheartening, is this domestic violence that is on the increase. And so we are certainly looking at the things that we can do through law enforcement, but getting to some of the systemic issues that promote that type of behavior. And that's where our safe, hopeful, and healthy neighborhoods fits in, engaging our residents, empowering them to become leaders in their own right to help build safer communities, also improving quality of place issues, eliminating things like litter and blight in our community. So it is a very comprehensive equation to addressing crime. But we're on it, and we it's a daily part of our life in city parish government.
Maureen downtown. Maureen, you're on with the mayor.
Hi, yes, Mayor Broome. I wonder if you might address the current legislative effort to break up BRAC into three parts.
All right, we've already been down that road with the mayor, but did you
Yeah,
miss anything the first go around.
Yeah, Maureen, I'm not supportive of that. I've been vocal, want to help address any issues that could prevent that from happening. It's now in the House, and we'll see what happens there.
Dan downtown. Dan, you're on with Mayor Broom.
Yeah, Mayor, has Bobby White's divisiveness, just assuming the mantle of the David Duke voters back in the 90s?
Well, let me just say this. Senator White was elected from a district, okay? The legislators are elected from districts. I think if we want to see more balance take place in the legislative process, then we need to keep a close eye on redistricting. You know, I think what has happened and what puts us at these really striking, polarization that occurs is that we have districts that are so packed with one ideology that other people who are concerned about other issues are not included in that process.
We'll spend a bit more time with Mayor President Sharon Weston Broom, also Mark Ballard of The Advocate. We take this short pause for the news. This is Jim Inkster. A few more minutes with Mayor President Sharon Weston Broom, and then we will hear from Mark Ballard, Capital Bureau Chief for The Advocate. So I tell you what, if you're not on the line right now with the mayor, she has graciously agreed to come back very soon. And we'll hopefully get you in next time, but we'll get to the callers who are waiting online if we can get to all of you. And we'll start with, I believe it is Jim and Walker. Jim, you're on with Mayor Broom. Hi, Jim.
Good morning, Madam Mayor. I live out in Livingston Parish, have for the past 17 years, and I drive for a living, and every day, all day, East Baton Rouge Parish and Baton Rouge Police Department vehicles speed, tailgate, and drive aggressively. Reports to the chief and sheriff go absolutely nowhere, absolutely nothing changes.
All right. Well,
I'm hearing you loud and clear on that, and I'll get involved. Thank you for bringing that to my attention. You can't be an advocate for public safety and not demonstrate safe behavior. So I hear what you're saying. I'm going to have a conversation with everyone about what you just shared. Thank you.
I would like to discuss a success story. As the mayor knows, I announced on this show 3 months ago that I was robbed in City Park, and I did get a call from the chief, and he said, no guarantees, but we'll try to arrest the person responsible, and there has been an arrest, and the person arrested, Mayor, is the same gentleman who was accused of going into a barbershop 8 days later and shooting 4 people and killing one man, shooting him in the head. So he's in jail for first-degree murder and for armed robbery. So, it's a violent city, but the truth is, in a free society, it's hard to combat this kind of behavior if you're in the wrong place at the wrong time. And fortunately, I didn't get shot in the head, but I could have. Mm. And it's a sobering thought about living in America today.
A very sobering thought. And the truth be told, is bigger than one person to solve it also. It has to be a collaborative effort. But once again, we've got to not only work on, making sure that law enforcement is strategically addressing this, but we've got to get some work on these systemic issues, which we are focused on.
Gustavo in Goodwood. Gustavo, good morning to you.
Hello. Good morning to you both. A serious question that I have, and then a comment real quick.
Well, quickly.
Why is it that the condition of our roads continue to be deplorable? And specifically, what I see is that there are a lot of secondary roads not as important as, for example, Foster Drive.
Okay, I'm going to encourage you to go to moveebr.com. Moveebr.com, is that our... Give me that again.
Moveebr.brla.gov.
So I want you to go there and look at all the streets that we're working on with that almost $1 billion roads and transportation project that hopefully you supported when we had that vote several years ago for the half cent sales tax. We're going to transform our roads. Look at that. We've already started. And then you can see what projects are going on. Very transparent with that. Thanks for your concern.
Wanted to get you on a few other matters. The socially and economically disadvantaged business program. How is that going?
Well, thanks to the council, we just passed that. It's a joint certification program with the Baton Rouge Metropolitan Airport and BREC for small businesses, local businesses in our area, particularly those businesses owned by minorities, women, and veterans. We want to open up opportunities with city parish contracts for individuals. And so we believe that this will be a game changer. The division of supplier diversity, we believe it will be a game changer for our small business community here in Baton Rouge, East Baton Rouge Parish, who have said time and time again that they would love to have access. And, of course, this was birthed out of a disparity, disparity study that shows that only 5% of city parish contractors and subcontractors were small businesses owned by minorities, women, or veterans.
And lastly, the Safe, Hopeful Neighborhoods Initiative, what's going on there?
Yeah, you know, that was birthed out of CARES Act dollars, out of COVID-19, that said you can use some of these dollars to address some of the crime that was obviously taking place all over the country. And so we are going to engage residents in the process of neighborhood intervention and the improvement of quality of place. So if you want to be a resident leader, if you want to participate in training for that, if you want to participate in cleanups, then you can connect with us.
Mayor, always a pleasure. And we're going to try to arrange a Father's Day reunion here with the mayor and her family, including the first gentleman, Marvin Broom, who was a recent guest. He did well.
I think he was a little bit more popular than I am sometimes. I had people come and ask me about him and stuff. Yeah,
he's a good man. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you.
And busy person who spends time with us on a regular basis, and we're pleased with that. Mark Ballard, Capitol Bureau Chief for The Advocate, is with us. He's been down at the Capitol and beyond. He spent a lot of time at LSU of late. And let's start there. You were at the Lod Cook Center last week ago today, when at the end of the day, William Tate IV was announced as the President and Chancellor of LSU, first black person to lead a university in the Southeastern Conference. The story today out of South Carolina, Mark, is that the president there has resigned, Bob Caslin, after admitting to lifting two paragraphs from a speech for a commencement address, and also inadvertently calling the University of South Carolina the University of California. He's out, and supposedly USC, the USC in Columbia, South Carolina, is trying to keep William Tate. Wouldn't that be something?
It would be. Now, the chairman of the LSU board, Robert Dampf, says, no way, we've got it, it's done, he'll be coming. But Mr. Tate also is being asked to kind of step in as sort of interim president at the University of South Carolina, where he applied for the presidency and lost out to General Caslin, I think his name is, and a year or so ago. And it remains to be seen.
Well, if he's the interim president, you know, Tom Galligan was the interim president, and now they have taken the interim away, that would mean South Carolina would have the honor of being the first SEC school with a black president, even if it's only for a couple of months. But, you know, sometimes people are comfortable where they are, and it comes down to money. And Tate's contract, as a few listeners have noted, is apparently still a work in progress.
Still a work in progress, you know, but these things tend to be. And so I guess we're going to see how it goes. But, boy, wouldn't that be something where, you know, he's accepted, then he rejects the job and stays in South Carolina, and, you know, and then LSU starts all over again, I guess, because I'm not sure how Mr. Galligan would feel about, you know, and now becoming president. I guess he would stay interim for a while.
Well, Jim Henderson,
even without the interim title,
might be offered the job. I don't know. He was the number two person. The board liked him a lot, but they decided this was a time to make history, and they did. My guess is that Henderson would be a top candidate if this were to happen. But, boy, that would be a horrible way for anybody to start, wouldn't it?
It would. So, and then you got to wonder, you know, would they accept it at that point?
That's true, too. That's true, too. It would be such that, as you know, Jerry Stovall wanted to be LSU football coach, and then he took the job when Bo Ryan's plane crashed, and he ended up inheriting Bo Ryan's staff, and it never was a comfortable situation for Coach Stovall, and he ended up leaving after 4 years. But we'll see. Now, before we get to the Capitol, the Capitol down the street from us, in the nation's capital, Liz Cheney was removed from her leadership position. House Republicans ousted her. And in Louisiana, we know Steve Scalise and Clay Higgins were against her staying. They have vocally stated why they believe she was unfit because of her claim that President Trump caused the insurrection and her vote for impeachment of Trump. But Garrett Graves is not saying how he voted. Neither is Mike Johnson. And neither is Julia Letlow. I think it's apparent how they voted, and some would say, do they owe the people they represent an explanation?
Well, the vote was taken by voice. There was no recorded vote on this, and it was done behind closed doors. But I've noticed that a whole lot of the Republican congressmen avoided talking about this yesterday. Now, Garrett Graves avoids talking about this sort of stuff, the political stuff, it seems to be, and Mike Johnson for that matter, on a regular basis, they kind of avoid saying where they stand on these kind of inter-party political issues. So I guess that's not surprising, but they joined a large number of their colleagues in not wanting to discuss this one way or the other in public.
Well, at the state capitol, when Louisiana has money, and this year it has COVID money, other matters tend to gain attention, and quite often they're sensational. And here we have a House panel advancing a transgender sports bill after a week of rejecting nearly an identical proposal. The House Education Committee yesterday advanced legislation that would bar transgender athletes from participating on sports teams that align with their gender identity. The front page story from Blake Patterson. The beat goes on at the Capitol. The men and women down there seem to dive into the most interesting of issues that sometimes are not necessarily on the front burner.
Well, this transgender issue is one of the wedge issues to energize the Republican base, and is it's going on in legislators around the country. What I found most interesting about this is that Stephanie Hilferty from Metairie, New Orleans area, who last week, and Barbara Freiberg, who is from Southeast Baton Rouge, covers a lot of the, her district includes a whole lot of LSU.
We're going to talk about it. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. We're back with Mark Ballard of The Advocate, and if you'd like to get in our final segment, 877-217-5757. Before we paused, Mark was talking about Senate Bill 156 aimed at, quote, maintaining fairness in girls' sports. It would ban transgender people from participating in girls' sports. And we saw a switch on some votes that were one way last week and another way this week. What happened? Mark?
Well, they won't say what happened. I guess that was where I was getting to. The point was that both Representative Freiberg and Representative Hilferty are the two that switched their votes. They were the votes that that rejected the almost the same legislation last week. Stomped out of the committee room and just would have nothing to say about why they switched their votes. So, but right now I'm thinking that it's going to be an easy go in the Louisiana House, and that the governor, who has said he's going to veto such a bill, will probably veto it.
And then we'll see if the veto holds.
Yeah, I'm not. I think this is more of a making a point, and so I don't see the raising veto in order to overrule. I mean, that would be very difficult for them to do. And do they want to stand on this particular barricade? I'm not so sure.
In Arkansas, a similar bill was passed, and the Republican governor, Asa Hutchinson, vetoed it. So John Bel Edwards does have some cover, and he has made his case known. He's also, listener notes, said that he will veto some of the gun legislation if it reaches his desk. And he is, of course, pro-Second Amendment and does not like any bills that would impede people's rights to have guns. But some of these are over the top. The concealed carry one he doesn't like.
Well, it's because, and law enforcement doesn't like it either. This is purely a one of those gun enthusiasts' bills. But, I mean, it would allow you and me to go packing a concealed weapon without having to take the requisite courses that's necessary to do so now. And, the governor always kind of holds what he's going to do close to the chest, but for several of the bills, and this being one of them, he said, you know, it's a dead on arrival.
877-217-5757 for Mark Ballard, Phil in Jefferson Terrace. Phil, please be brief.
Good morning, gentlemen. Yes, I want to get the proper use of this term. Is it bold-faced lie or bald-faced lie?
All right, that's an interesting question.
And one I'm afraid I can't answer, Phil.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
Well, 6725, the House passed a marijuana measure. This is something that is notable. As the mayor said earlier, the Louisiana House, a Republican-dominated entity, voting 67, an overwhelming majority, for a bill that decriminalizes small-time possession. Was this a surprise, Mark?
I guess no, not really, because the legalization effort is kind of stalled at about 50 votes, and that seemed to take a lot of the interest in the room. The decriminalization is basically Baton Rouge and New Orleans and Shreveport already have this write a ticket for, I guess it's less than a half ounce, forgive me because I don't know my metrics too well, but for a half ounce or less, you get a ticket instead of go to prison. Which is the law for the rest of the state, and this would just do it for the rest of the state. So it was kind of not surprising because of the popularity of legalization, but that was a bridge too far for some of the legislators. They could go with the decriminalization.
Yesterday, above the fold in the Advocate, bill that was showcased by the newspaper of record with Mark Ballard's reporting, after months of work, the legislature is moving legislation that would set up the way for adults to place wagers on football, basketball, and other sporting events. This is House Bill 697. It got 78 votes Monday night. It needed 70, two-thirds, and moves to the Senate. What's your prognosis?
Well, and the companion legislation, which is Senate Bill 202, though they may renumber it because it was substantially substituted, but I think it's a done deal. It's going to pass, and that we will be able to sports bet on our telephones or at our local bar, maybe by time of Super Bowl.
Well, I'm sure there would be a lot of bets on LSU games, no doubt. So,
only at the end of the season, though. It'll take a few months once this passes. It'll take a few months for them to get the whole structure in place. Mm-hmm.
A listener asked me to ask you about a story that's on page 9A of The Advocate from Wilson Tell. Racial divide persists on education committee. This is an interesting story, isn't it?
It is. It's a kind of a bleed over from the Ray Garofalo talk about the good of slavery, which was a mistake, but it seems to have attracted a whole lot of attention. And the Democrats want him removed from the House Education Committee as the chairman, and the House Speaker won't do it. And yesterday, there was an effort by Valerie Hodges from Denham Springs, and now she says this wasn't the case, but I mean, if you read it, it is the case, to amend the bill that caused all of this, the Garofalo bill that caused all this hubbub into one of her bills, and it just it caused it to that sword open up again. And there's a lot of talk about there was a lot of talk yesterday about walking out, and it didn't come to that pass, but it just reopened a lot of.
All right, Mark, I don't know where he went. See if we can get him back. But while we're doing that, I know James in Metairie has been waiting patiently. James, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning, Jim. Is Mark back?
He's. We're getting him back. He should be back in short order.
Okay. I had questions on three issues, if I could. The chances of marijuana decriminalization in the state Senate, sports betting in the state using people using their cell phones, and the fate of the Slidell Casino, Jim.
All right. Okay. Well, we're still endeavoring to get Mark back,
okay.
But we'll see what we can do. And he has talked about a few of those, but we have not discussed the Slidell Casino, which is still potentially in the works, but looks like it is hit a dead end. And it looked like a power surge may have caused Mark's phone to disappear from us, but Matt Doyle, our crack producer, is continuing to try. Mark does have a couple of other stories in the paper today. The Louisiana Senate voted 37-0 on a House-passed bill that would centralize the collection and distribution of sales taxes in our state. And a bill to restrict gubernatorial power heads to the full House. The House Republicans charged ahead, writes Mark Ballard, advancing legislation on a party-line vote to restrict a governor's actions during a time of emergency. And this, of course, is related to COVID. And we do have Mark back, and we'll get his take on the Slidell Casino. But what about the bill to reduce or to limit the governor's powers in an emergency? Is this a kind of a payback to Governor John Bel Edwards, Mark?
Well, they say no. They say that it's not going to, if it gets passed, that it wouldn't go into effect until the next governor comes in. The House Republicans spent an awful lot of time last session, and they trying to do just that. And this session, I think they've come up with a different sort of bill that they might be able to get past the courts and might be able to get past some of the Democrats.
And the Slidell Casino, where do we stand with that?
It's I think that we still have a ways to go, and there's a lot of opposition to it and a lot of proponents as well, very controversial. But the bill seems to be, on the Senate side, was killed. And on the House side, is moving along towards a vote. Basically, do the people of St. Tammany Parish want to have that casino in Slidell?
And James and Metairie also asked about placing bets by cell phone. Does the bill get that deep in the weeds?
Yes, yes, it does. Mm-hmm. And it will. You will be able to place a bet by. Presuming that it gets passed, and that's the way it looks like it's going to happen, that you will be able to place bets by cell phone if you're in a parish that voted to allow sports betting.
Another Mark on Highland. Mark, you'll be our final caller for Mark Ballard.
Is there any serious bill to give teachers a pay raise to at least come close to the Southern average?
What about teacher pay raises?
Not to the Southern average, but there was yesterday the BSEE board approved putting money in the public schools funding that would allow for an $800 pay raise for teachers, and I think $400 for staffers. I'll have to double check that, but yes, that's likely to happen, or at least the $800. But getting close to the Southern average. I guess I can say you're closer, but you're not, you know, going to be close.
Mark, continue the good work. He does exceptional work in all kinds of places. We'll see what happens at the Capitol and at LSU. Will William Tate IV get cold feet? What a story that would be. Mark Ballard.
What a story, right?
Yeah. Many thanks. Keep
okay.
going.
Thank you.
One of the best in the business, and we're blessed to have him here. First Financial Tax and Accounting Services provides signature support. Stay safe.